So the Gemara is in the midst of seeking more and more rayas to figure out how you define the word or. The secondary definition, the prior definition that Gemara already told us many times, of course, kuli avon lo pligi, the word or means light, but the secondary definition of the word or in the dictionary is a period of time. Is that dawn or is it evening? So the Gemara, Beis Amar Alf, onto Beis Amar Beis, been going through a series of psukim, and then the Gemara turns attention to the language of Chazal. We start with the Mishnah Psachim, then a Braisa Psachim, the Tosefta, and then we appear to be moving al Seder Hashas. From Psachim we went to Rosh Hashanah yesterday, and we're going to move on in Mirtz Hashem to Zvachim and to Krisus before turning to Midrashe Halacha. So just let's just add a footnote to the discussion I had yesterday, the last time, 2 days ago, about Masih and Masuos. It seemed the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Chav Beis and Beis talks about the Masih and Masuos, and the Braisa, the Gemara, their quotes, and the Gemara quotes here as well, the bottom of Chav Beis and Beis and the bottom of Beis and Beis and Psachim, that talks about when they would do the Masih and Masuos. It was only in a, if the month was the preceding month was Chaser, the only Masih and Masuos, number one, if they were Mekadesh the first of the two possible days to be Rosh Chodesh, and number two, that the time that they would hoist the Masuos was La'ori Buro, the night of the second, the night of Beis Iyar, the night of Beis El, and so on and so forth. The preceding month was Chaser, so then they would be Masih and Masuos the night after Rosh Chodesh. And so that got us thinking, that had gotten us thinking last time. Yeah? Huh? I'm glad you're able to clarify. Please. I'd love to share. So this got us thinking about the following larger question. Maybe we'll enter into it from a little bit of a different angle we did last time. The Beis Yosef in I believe it's in Taf Chaf Ches in Arachaim near the end of Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, he quotes his father-in-law. I don't know if there are any other. I don't know offhand of any other times when he does. Perhaps he does. Maybe it's like Samach Beis Ayin. Because his father-in-law dealt with the following shaila. Let's say Rosh Chodesh. 2 days Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos and Sunday. Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos and Sunday. So the question, we're going to have that soon. We're going to have that soon. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This upcoming Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be... I take that back. Rosh Chodesh Nisan will be one... Rosh Chodesh Nisan is always one day of Rosh Chodesh. But let's imagine 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos and Sunday. So what do you lay... What's the haftarah of that first day of Rosh Chodesh? What should be the haftarah? So I would have guessed, you know, the haftarah should be the haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Hashemayim Kissi. So there are those who suggested the 1500s, maybe the haftarah should be Machar Chodesh, exactly. Like Aaron said, maybe Machar Chodesh, because the next day is Yerush Chodesh. Right? Sunday is Yerush Chodesh. Shabbos is also Yerush Chodesh. They said, yeah, but the Iker Rosh Chodesh is Sunday. The Iker Rosh Chodesh is the second day of Rosh Chodesh, because that's the day it's actually Aleph of the month. So that back and forth about should you say Machar Chodesh on the first of 2 days Rosh Chodesh. We saw the Gemara Nidam Daf Samach Amud Beis points out that even though Al Pidin the Chodesh begins with the second day of a 2 day Rosh Chodesh, but in Lashon Bnei Adam people already refer to if Nisan is 30 days. So even though the first day of Rosh Chodesh is officially still Nisan, we say Belashim Bnei Adam, Benidam Alachach Belashim Bnei Adam. Belashim Bnei Adam, people often already think of the first day of Rosh Chodesh as it's already here. It's Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh. Even though Pidin, it's not that sparked a conversation in Tosus and the Ran there in Nedarim Daf Samach. What should you do about how you write a star on the first of 2 days of Rosh Chodesh? Are you writing Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Are you writing Rosh Chodesh Iyar? Are you writing the 30th day of Nisan? Do you combine? But all this, what all this gets us thinking about is why indeed are there 2 days of Rosh Chodesh? So sometimes you say, this is going to be a 29-day month, and the day 30 instead becomes the first of the next month. Great. But if not, if I have a choice, if the 29th of the month is Sunday, again, we have the option of either making Monday Rosh Chodesh or Tuesday. So if we make Tuesday Rosh Chodesh, so then Tuesday Rosh Chodesh. But why is Monday also? Why is there always a tag along? Why is it that whenever the month, the preceding month is Malay, it's always 2 days Rosh Chodesh? Why can't it just be the 30th of the month? Why is it Rosh Chodesh not Rosh Chodesh? It's not the first of the month. But really, the first of the month is going to be Tuesday and not Monday. Why is it Tuesday and Monday? Again, that was highlighted by the fact there was even a Havmi, which we don't paskin like, that the first day is worthy of Rosh Chodesh because the next day is Rosh Chodesh. So just to fill out the conversation with which we closed our discussion of Masih Masur Sugya with this point, because we saw that this is the basis for one of the approaches. The Rambam, the striking Rambam in Perek Dalet in Halacha Ches of Kirsha Chodesh, where he says, well, since the month is in principle 29 and a half days, so when you have a 30-day month, really that day 30 is already, astronomically speaking, typically it's going to be going into a very beginning the next month. Al pi halacha, the Gemara is a drasha that months have to come in units of days. You can't just start Chodesh Nisan at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Months have to be in units of days. That's either a full 29 or a full 30. But since astronomically you're basically already stepping into the lunar month of Nisan, the lunar month of Iyar, let's say, in the 30th of the Nisan, so it's already Rosh Chodesh. The Aruch HaShulchan, he suggests that the Rambam is really presenting what must have been a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that day 30 is always going to be Rosh Chodesh, even if it means there'll be 2 days Rosh Chodesh. That's the Aruch HaShulchan Asid understands it. And the Emek Bracha, Arlei Paranchik, his last piece on Kiddush HaChodesh, see, he points out that the Rambam is not alone. He points out the Shibbolei Halakhit also quotes other Rishonim who say something similar, that you keep 2 days. And he points out that in the Haftar of Machar Chodesh, it's all about having 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. There's clearly attested to in the Tanakh. There are 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Right? The first day, Shaul didn't get so upset that David hadn't shown up to the what apparently was a Sudas Rosh Chodesh Beveis HaMelech, but the second day of Rosh Chodesh, when he once again didn't show up, then Shaul got very upset at David, and that's how the whole story of Machar Chodesh unfolds. Now, so what we spoke about last time is that, that's one approach, based on the Rambam, Shibbol HaLaket, that it's a din. Again, that's the rule. Because astronomically, you're already getting into the lunar month of Iyar and the 30th of Nisan, so it has Kedusha Rosh Chodesh, even though it's not the first of the month al Pidin. And fascinating, but there is the other approach, which we spoke about emerging from our Gemara, and he highlights that it's Achronim Brachas Dav Chavav, the Binyan Ariel and the Tzlach, who discussed it. Maybe it has to do, it's something practical. We highlighted that the fact that Masi and our sugya, the point of our sugya, that Masi and Masu has happened, La'or Ibur means that, La'or means at night, that no one outside Yerushalayim knew that it would be Rosh Chodesh, or that it would not be Rosh Chodesh, until after that first possible day was over. The notification was done the night of the second day. So no one knew in advance would it be Rosh Chodesh. So everyone was keeping Rosh Chodesh Misafik. Either the next night you saw the torch, this past day was Rosh Chodesh, or you wouldn't see the torch, it turns out the past day wasn't really Rosh Chodesh, tonight's Rosh Chodesh. So everyone's always operating after Yerushalayim, all day long was Misafik. Day 30 was always a Safik, Mitchilas about Sofo. You would never know until after 30 was over after Yerushalayim if it was Rosh Chodesh or not. So it was a built-in Safik, again, we spoke about last time. Sveikat Yom Tovim comes from the once they started sending shluchim during the Masin Masuus era, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, there was no Sfeikid Yomer for any other yomtiv, but for Rosh Chodesh there always was. There always was anywhere, and even in Eretz Yisrael, and it's highlighted even further by the fact that even in Yerushalayim, the day always began as a suffix. You would wait to see, would Edom come or would Edom not come? If Edom came, we would make today's Rosh Chodesh. If Edom didn't come, make our din, you would wait all day long. So it was really a suffix even in Yerushalayim. You'd only realize at the end of the day, we weren't Mekar Rosh Chodesh. I guess today wasn't Rosh Chodesh. And then the Emek Racha quotes from the Tzlach that the Gemara comments at a certain point they made a takana they wouldn't be makabel Eretz HaKodesh from a certain point in the afternoon. And they osim osa yom kodesh ulamachar kodesh. So then if they got to that point in the afternoon and the Edom still hadn't shown up, they would say, okay, we're closed for business. We will not receive Edom late in the afternoon. We're already declaring now that both days are Rosh Chodesh. That's the Tzlach points out. It's not a question of Safik. Is even at a certain point that he became a formal takana drabanan that osim osa yom kodesh ulamachar kodesh. So those are the two major approaches, again with variations, to how you understand the significance of the first of a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. Is it, as the Rambam Shmuel Halakhot say, it's like a din? It may be rooted in the fact that astronomically we're already getting into the second day, even though al-pi halacha, the first of the month begins tonight. So that's why. That's where the first day already has status as Rosh Chodesh. Or does it have to do with the suffix and the practicalities of how Kiddush HaChodesh would work? The fact you didn't know over the course of the day whether that it wouldn't be Rosh Chodesh. And certainly outside Yerushalayim, no one knew because the Masih Masuos was Lil Beis. Yeah, question. I'm sorry? The month is 29. So let's say the 29th of the month is a Sunday. So we can either be Mekadosh Monday or Tuesday. So let's say we're Mekadosh Monday. Okay. So why would Tuesday be Rosh Chodesh?
Sunday be Rosh Chodesh.
Why?
According to what the Rambam said, So
your point, that good question, which is if you check the calendar, if you check a luach, so the molad does not always fall out on day 29 and day 30. That's sort of the beyond the scope of the shiur right now. But the way a fixed calendar works is we only calculate based on the molad of Tishrei and the molad of the next Tishrei. So there's more nowadays. There's more variation. Yes, it's a little hard to understand the approach of the Rambam. It sounds like, especially if you take the approach to Aruch HaShulchan, that's Halacha Moshe Sinai. So what he probably means, I would assume, is not that the molad actually falls out on day 30. It doesn't always fall out on day 30. But instead it reflects the din, that when you have 30 days, there could be 2 days Rosh Chodesh. But that reflects a certain underlying reality. The underlying reality is that astronomically, a lunar month is 29 and a half days plus change. Right? Astronomically, the lunar cycle is 20 and a half days. So on the one hand, months come in units of days, so we're not going to start Nisan or Sivan or Kislev at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 9 o'clock in the morning. So, but at the same time, the fact that it's really 20 and a half days, so that's why when you go into day 30, when you go into the 30 full days, the 30th day also gets Kedushas Rosh Chodesh. So l'chaora, I think that's what you gain from the Aruch HaShulchan's take. Could I take a look inside? Put it in my Rukamos. Take the Aruch HaShulchan house that's in the back. They finished by the below the Aruch HaShulchan, by the Mishnah Berurahs. So I think that the power of what he says is that it solves that problem, correct? And the Rambam, simply in the Rambam, it sounds like the Molad always falls out on day 30, which astronomically doesn't necessarily work out. But it is true that since the Chodesh is, because again, the previous month, the Molad didn't necessarily fall out right after Shkia, on Aleph. So it's not going to follow necessarily that the Molad only falls out in the middle of day 30. But it is true that a month is 29 and a half days astronomically. So we capture that by saying the month will either be 29 and 30, and when are we going to make it 30? We're still going to give Kedusha to day 30 as well, in addition to day 31, which is which is for purposes of counting the first of the next month. Because you have 29 days, and then day 30 is half and half. So you want to be Mekadesh day 30. So if the month is Chasar, so day 30 really is Aleph of the next month. But if it's a Male, so we still want to give Kedusha to day 30. I just said that's what I was just responding to. I think what Aruch HaShulchan is driving at, it's not a question when the mole actually falls out in any given month. But what it is instead is it's an expression of the fact that the Chodesh Alvan is really 29 and a half days. So we always want to, so in theory, in principle, if the month starts on day one, so then day 30 is half and half, astronomically. Again, the mole doesn't always fall out actually the beginning of day one. So the mole of the next month is not going to be necessarily smack in the middle of day 30. That's what Aruch HaShulchan is saying. The Rambam is saying that there's a halacha which is saying, which reflects this, which reflects the fact that astronomically the month is 29 and a half days. That's why we always want to give Kedusha to day 30. Because in principle, day 30 is Chatzi Chatzi.
And halacha which is saying is only with regards to two days.
Well, we always want to give Kedusha to day 30. So either day 30 is the first of the next month, or day 30 is a lot of the previous month, but either way, it has Kedusha. But day 31 only has Kedusha for Makash, as Rosh Chodesh. But day 31 automatically has Kedusha.
It doesn't really have anything to do with astronomical reality. It just happens to correspond to the...
It reflects the overall astronomical reality that the Chodesh Halavana is 29 and a half days. And this is how we give expression to it. But yeah, it's surprising. But again, I think I'm sensitive to your question. I think that's what the Aruch HaShulchan is solving by saying that the Halacha Moshe Sinai. Because once the Halacha Moshe Sinai, it's not the Halacha Moshe Sinai that the day with the Molad is the day that becomes Kadosh. It's clearly not the case. Molad Rosh, right? The Molad of Tishrei falls out on a Wednesday. Wednesday is not Kadosh, only Thursday. But it's the structure of the luach, the fact that day 30 is always kadosh, whether it's Rosh HaChodesh or not, the Kedush is Rosh HaChodesh, that's a reflection of the fact that Chodesh Alvan is 29 and a half days, astronomically speaking. Okay. So now let's move on to the next Gemara. After Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara moves to Zvachim. The second to last line, Beis on Beis, the Gemara starts talking about a Kohen who pulls an all-nighter. How does that work? So just a little bit of background. The Torah speaks about a kiyor. The Torah speaks about the need for kiddush adayim v'raglayim, rachatzu idayim v'raglayim. Kohanim have to wash their hands and feet from the mei hakiyor before they're allowed to perform avoda, before they're allowed to enter into the heichal, into the kodesh. And then the mishnah, the beginning of the second parak of Zvachim, gives a list of different people, or people with different features, different characteristics, who are not kosher to do avodah. So the Mishnah says someone who's not a Kohen, a Zar, is not kosher to do avodah. And the Mishnah says you have a Kohen not wearing big day kahuna, he's not allowed to do avodah. And if he did the avodah, it's not even kosher b'dieved. And a long list, and one of the people on that list, you have a Kohen, he's wearing big day kahuna, but shalom rachatzi yadav raglav. A Kohen didn't wash his hands from the kiyar. Not only is it usher to do avoda, it's a forbidden act. It's yisr ma'isam, not allowed to do avoda without having washed. But it's even going to make the avoda possible with the heaven. A Kohen goes. A Kohen walks into the Beis Hamikdash. He's rushing. Like we think about I'm running a few minutes late to mincha. So run to mincha. They're ready up to chatzi kadosh. Do I jump right into Shemoneh Esrei, or do I say Ashrei first? So imagine the Kohen is running today. So Mikdash is running a few minutes late, and it's his turn. He's supposed to be doing avodah now. So he skips kiddush adayim v'raglayim. He skips washing his hands and feet from the kiyor. So not only was that an iser, but the avodah that he did, he runs straight. He just grabs the mizrak, he grabs the golden kli, and starts catching the blood of the carbon. So that's a pasul of carbon now, because the kabbalas adam was done by a Kohen who shalom rachatz yadav raglav. So that shalom rachatz yadav raglav makes onto that list the opening mission of the second paragraph of Zvachim. So the Gemara a couple of blocks later on that Mishnah, Daf Yutes and Beis, starts to discuss the din of a kiyush dam raglayim. The Mishnah, the Gemara quotes one brisa that described how it was done. We assume that the Kohen would wash a right hand, right foot, and then wash the left hand, left foot. But the Tosefta has a machlokas hatanam, exactly how that worked. We wash in the hands and the feet. What the logistics look like. And then there's another brisa. The brisa wants to know, the next Tosefta Gemara quote says a machlokas, when does my kiddush adayim raglayim expire? Do things have an expiration date? And milk has an expiration date. You go to the fridge, get the milk is spoiled, it's been out too long. Right? So how about the kiddush adayim raglayim? Is there such a thing as expiration kiddush adayim raglayim? So certainly, if I left the Beis HaMikdash and Hesa Chadas, I'm going to have to, then come back, I'm going to have to wash hands and feet again. That's clear. But let's say the fellow's in the Beis HaKohen, in the Beis HaMikdash, working nonstop. It's busy season. It's Yom Tov time, and there are more karbanos than we have staff on hand. So, all hands on deck. This Kohen's been working he's working harder than a medical resident. He's working for 36 hours straight, nonstop. Nonstop. So what's the story with the kiddush adayim raglayim? So one Tana says, no problem. As long as you keep going, you keep going. Your hands and feet are still washed. Your hands and feet are still in the kudosh. You keep going and going and going. And the other Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, says no. He says, even if the Kohen's going, that's what the Gemara quotes here. That's what the Gemara quotes here. Second to last line, Beis. The Kohen is all night long is being makir karbanos on mizbeach. Most avodos cannot be done at night, but as we know from the first mission in Shas, one of the exceptions, one of the avodos you can do at night is hetter halavim veivar. The carbon is already nishchat and the blood was already offered nizrak on mizbeach. So at that point, once you take care of avodos hadam, so then if there's an edible part, the people will eat it, whichever people are eligible, depending on the carbon. And if it's the emurim, the chelak that's meant to be burnt to mizbeach, has to be burnt to mizbeach. And the hechter, chalav, veivarim, the burning, if it's an ola, the ola evarim, if it's a non-ola, just the chalavim, the chelav is the part of the emurim that gets burnt. So that could be done. That doesn't have to happen during the day. That could run throughout the night. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, that's very nice. All night long, this kind of beautiful. He pulled an all-nighter to the makers more and more and more and more. But the Tana of Yehuda, the Tana of Yonasi holds, but La'ora Ta'un Kiyush Adayim Raglayim. When Ora comes, then he has to take a step back, stop, and do a fresh Kiyush Adayim Raglayim. Because the Tana of Yehuda, again, as I said before, the Nizvachim, they quote more of this Brisa, and there are other Tanaim who disagree. There are Tanaim who say, as long as you go B'li Hafsek, you can go from the night into the day, and without any need for kiddush adayim raglayim, there's no hefsek, there's no hesach hadas, you're fine. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds no. There's a din of lina on your hands. And when your hands go through the night and then back into the day, you need a fresh kiddush adayim raglayim. When the Chaver pointed out that it has I think Akiva pointed out. It's interesting to think about this in the context of Negel Vasser also. In Tzivos Adayim Shacharis that we have, that we've shown him talk about at least three different possible models. What's the basis? What's the idea behind Tzivos Adayim Shacharis? So one of them is the Rush talks about, the Rashba talks about. So one of the approaches is that it's based on a Kohen shows up in the morning to do avodas hakarbanos, to do kiyush adayim raglayim. It's a reminder. We also that it's not as it's very obvious. You come to Beis HaMikdash, you makir karbanos. Obviously, you're doing mitzvahs. Our days are filled with things which we don't always notice can be mitzvahs. So it may be mayen, could be the Tzivos Adayim Shacharis, our Negel Vasser is the mayen of the Kiyush Adayim Raglayim of the Kohen. So it's interesting to think about. This is the Akiva Oriel, Akiva pointed out. The post can discuss for many of us, it's Dafka Shavuah Shail, it has nothing to do with Shavuah in particular. What do you do if you're up all night into the day, you need a fresh Negel Vasser or not? So it's that shaila is may end this machlok, may end this machlok is hatanam. The Kohen pulls all night in Beis HaMikdash, does he have to wash neglevat? Does he have to wash kiyush adayim raglayim? Rabbi Yehuda says yes, And the Gemara isn't getting involved in how we paskin. The point is how the language is used. Because he says, when do you have to perform a fresh kirishnayim regraim? Le'ora. There you go. Obviously, we're talking about in the morning, because he was omid kol ha'layla. Obviously, over here doesn't mean the night. Over here means the morning. And this is actually, this is a raya lehepach. We already had two shmaminos that or means urta, that or means night. Now we're raya lehepach, that or means the morning. The Gemara says, it's not such a raya. Yeah, ora shiny. The Gemara says, maybe ora means morning, but or means evening. Or lavasa. And why would that be different? It could be what the Gemara means is an aura isn't a reference to a period of time. Aura means dafka, light. When it gets light in the Beis HaMikdash, it's an open air space. There's no roof. When it gets light, so that's when he has to back away. And you saw the Rambam, Lisiyuma de Milsa, the Rambam in Hilchas Beis HaMikdash, when he quotes this din. How do we find the Rambam? Because we looked in the Emish Ben Mitzvah, and he told us to look in Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, Perek HaLach Ches. So the Rambam there talks about Hanetz HaChama. And this Ora is Hanetz HaChama. And you remember, this is the Rambam we had seen out of context, referenced out of context in the previous sugya, earlier on the Yamin. That's, as I mentioned, Shechter in his notes to Rav Shurim, quotes there of Aaron Lichtenstein had suggested, when the Rav was talking about the Machlokas about Melacha be'erev Pesach, Machlokas was when Yaakov and then Yehuda earlier in the Amud, Yehuda said it has to do with Hanetz HaChama. The Baron said maybe that relates to this. It relates to this. The Rambam understands that lower means Hanetz HaChama. So if you understand that Melacha be'erev Pesach has to do with the fact that it's a day of bringing your carbon Pesach, so here you see a reference to the day for Karbanos to an extent beginning from Hanetz HaChama. Okay. But the kitzah, that's a din of kish dav reglaim. From the masiyim asuas, we did bring a raya from the kish dav reglaim. We cannot bring a raya because the terminology is not or, but ora. Question?
Yeah. I think you mentioned that if Kohen leaves the Beis HaMikdash, that has to go down and rewalk. So how come for that, we say it has to be asked, but
Torah,
there's no Hazard Hadass.
Why, if it's calling Mishmar the whole week, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whole day, he's mindful that he literally keys in the Beis HaMikdash. So Thursday, he goes out to go on, get a quicker form, so how, before, we didn't say he has a Hadass. As you all know, Zakivan, how come I believe that he got checked, but I believe the dinner, the coin leaves Beis HaMikdash, comes back, he has to wash Kish Dan Ragan again. How come by Birkas HaTorah, the Tosfos develops the idea there's no Hesach Hadass from Birkas HaTorah? Yeah. Let's put this into broader context. Birkas HaTorah is an outlier. And there are other areas of Halacha we also have dinim of Hefsek and Hesach Hadass. Let's say in terms of Brachas, which is going to come up actually comes up later in the Maseches Pesachim. The very, very end of Arvei Pesachim. They talk about it's relevant to Karban Pesach, but it's also relevant to Hilchos Brachas. In both contexts. We leave, we come back. In the middle of a meal, you leave, you come back. Do you have to make a new bracha? Is that considered Shini Malkum or not? That considered Shini Malkum in terms of bracha, bracha chorna, bracha rishona? Is it considered Shini Malkum in terms of the dinam of Chabur Achas? So it's not, yes, yeah, so Birkas HaTorah, I think Birkas is the exception. The Tosfos works on it. It's a big chiddush. The Tosfos says, I'm holding my learning all day long. I'm chayv to learn. I'm holding my learning. I'm taking a break from learning to go work. It's exceptional. It's a tzarech bir. Again, there's a beautiful line in that context. I mentioned a beautiful line the Rambam has, I believe, Paragimel Hilchos Talmud Torah, where he talks about based on Gvar Maikatan, the dinim of when you put aside learning to do other mitzvahs, different than the usual rules of Osik Mitzvah Patan Mitzvah. The Rambam adds a phrase. The number of Sifrei Machshava and Bali Musar point out, he says, if it's a situation where it's appropriate to walk away, where the other mitzvah takes precedence, the other mitzvah gets triaged, it's a mitzvah, no one else can do this mitzvah, or no one else can do it quite the way I would, I'm going to make a unique contribution. So I put aside that say the friend is getting married. So it's not just that they need X number of people there. I'm friendly with him. I'm not just another body. I'm friendly with him. So other people can dance with him also. Shabizok Halvai to soon be able to dance without the need, speak about Hepsik, without the need for a gartel. But Halvai should soon be Zaycha that mitzvah dancing should be optional and not expected. But however you're going to be Mesamech, but now and forever, so if my presence is unique, I'm a friend of his. So and other friends are going to go too, but each actual friend adds simcha. So I'm supposed to close the Gemara and go to the chasna, be mesamech chasam kala. So the Rambam says, he says, in a situation where it's appropriate to step away from learning, time that would have otherwise been learning, step away from learning, go do another mitzvah. He says, v'yachzu miyad l'talmudo. And you come right back to learning. There's a number of acharon point that. Well, he said that I'm supposed to be learning, but I'm taking a step away from learning to do the mitzvah. So then obviously, so then when I'm done with the mitzvah, I go back to learning. The other Rambam spell it out. So this is some of the Sfarim suggest. They talk about a mindset. The mindset, that mindset is reflected in that Tosis as well. The Rambam has in the third paragraph, not the first paragraph of the Talmud Torah. So it doesn't sound like it's part of the Iker Chiyah of the Talmud Torah, but it's part of the Keser Shel Torah. The Jew is ambitious and striving to grow and learning. So I have a mindset, I'm learning. But Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch has many other mitzvahs for me. So clearly most of the day I'm busy with other things. And it's appropriate for me to take a time for learning for X and for Y and for Z and to work and spend time with the family and to do this mitzvah and that mitzvah. But fundamentally I'm learning, but there's a cheshbon why 21 hours a day I'm doing other things. So that's how some of the Svarim understand that tesis about Birkas HaTorah. But it's a chiddush. Yeah, Birkas HaTorah is a chiddush. That's the exceptional case. That's not the rule. Okay. So then, going on Talmud Beis, now Marzutra. This is, so far the Meisveis, I think, have all been anonymous. This is for the first, although we had seen, when we were looking at the Maram Chalava, earlier in Daf Beis and Beis, they mentioned it could be different parts of the Suga, different Meisveis, were asked at different yeshivas. So here's the first time we actually get some historical data. Meisvei Mazutra. Yes, we don't know, but the Amoraim were quoting the Braisa. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov was the one who asked an Ora, right? That was part of the source. And some Amor are saying, oh, don't you see that he's using the word art to mean this, to mean that. But here for the first time, you hear the Amora who's raising it. Neisei Marzutra. The Amora Marzutra asked the following kasha. A Mishnah that actually appears two places in Shas. It appears in Croesus. You see on the side Zion of Days. And it also appears in Adios. Croesus is all about how a Jew becomes Chayav Kari. How a Jew becomes Chayav Karban Chatzas. So the major way a Jew becomes Chayav Karban Chatzas, as we know, you do an Aver, which you will be Chayav Kari, b'mezid, you do b'shoge, you Chayav Chatzas. But there are other types of Karban Chatzas also. And one of them is a pretty common one. We know, let's say, you bring Karban Chatzas every Rosh Chodesh, and every Yantif, part of the Karban Musaf. Okay. And then sometimes you bring carbon chata, sometimes you bring carbonos, including carbon chatas, to help make yourself tar. This goes back to, again, to brachas da beis. If a Jew becomes tame, or a kli, a non-cheres kli becomes tame, then typically there is a path to tahara. The path to tahara invariably will involve mikvah, and sometimes it involves other factors as well. Let's say you're Tommy Tumas May, so it's not enough to go to mikveh. Before you go to mikveh, you first have to be sprinkled with the water of the Parah Aduma. Okay, so if you're Tommy Tumas May, you need the Hazor Shlishi, you need to be sprinkled with the Parah Aduma water in order to be able to effectively go to mikveh. And once you go to mikveh, what happens? The Jew is Tommy, let's say you get married a couple years from now, you're living in an apartment, and there's a mouse. There's a mouse in the apartment, so be the man, you catch the mouse, and get rid of the mouse. So let's say by the time you get the mouse, he's already in the Olam Hamas. The mouse is no longer alive. So you caught the mouse, a dead mouse, and one of the Shmar Shrotzim is an Av HaTumma. You touch the dead mouse, you become Tameh. You become a Rishon L'Tumma. Those who learned Bava Kama recently, that's Bava Kama Dav Beis. for in the Mishnah beginning of Kehillah. It's also Pesukim and Chumash. You touch it to Hasharetz, you become Tamei. Okay. So now I'm a Rishon L'Tumah. So what do I want? I don't want to be Tamei forever. So I go to Mikvah. And now, am I Tahar? Sort of. So I'm in the process of Tahara. So the Tanaim point out, based on the Pesukim, and again this already appears on Brachas Dav Beis, that I begin the process of Tahara by going to Mikvah. At that point, I'm called a Tevul Yom. I'm someone who Tovel that day. I'm somewhat Tahar. I'm somewhat Tahar, but I still cannot eat Truma or eat Karbanos until the end of the day. Harav Shemesh, when the sun sets and Tzitzak Kochavim comes, and the new night begins, usually, that will complete the Tahara process. If I touch a dead Sheretz, for instance, the dead mouse, the Tahara process is two steps, Tevila and Harav Shemesh. So I go to mikvah at 9 o'clock in the morning, or I go to mikvah at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. For the remainder of the day, however long is left, till Tzitzak Kochavim, I'm a Tevul Yom. I'm a Tevul Yom, someone Tovel that day, I'm partially Tahar. And then once I have Harav Shemesh, so that if it's just a Tumah Sharetz, I'm done. I'm now fully Tahar, 9 o'clock at night, I can go eat Truma, I can walk into the Beis HaMikdash, I can eat a Karban, I'm totally Tahar. There are, though, a few Tumos, a few Avos HaTumah, where Harav Shemesh is still not enough. There are a few Avos HaTumah where there's a further step after Tevila and the Harav Shemesh. I need to bring a Karban, typically the next day. I need to bring a Karban, and that Karban completes my Tahara process. Azav, Azava, Yoledes, for instance, a Kava, a Mitzora, a couple of situations where I need to bring the Karban. So until I bring that Karban, once night falls, and I'm no longer Tevul Yom, I'm allowed to eat, I'm more Tahar, I'm allowed to eat Truma, but I still won't be able to eat Karbanos, or go into the Beis HaMikdash, until I send the Karbanos that I need. Mechusari, I'm called a Mechusar Kippurim. I'm called a Mechusar Kippurim until that point. I have Tzvilo. Then later that night I have Harav Shemesh. And then sometimes you'll even have to have Karbanos. So once you have Tzvilo, during this period of time we call Shtarach, a Tzvul Yom. And if you're in a situation where you eat Karbanos, so once you have Harav Shemesh, you're missing your Karban. You're Mechusar Kippurim. You're missing your Karban, which always includes the carbon contents. What? Sure.
Zoom stopped working.
Maybe there are too many people on it, more than usual.
Oh. I'm sure Akiva Kras would say about that. Schneer's on and Tani's on. Let's continue a little more. I will leave you with a question. I'll leave you off with a question. Let's talk for another few minutes. I'll leave you with a question which our Gemara will answer. But a quick show of hands. How many guys got to this third piece of Gemara? Not so many. Okay, good. Perfect. So we'll get things started. We'll lay the groundwork. And I'll leave you the question, and we'll have to pick up. You have something to think about over the course of Thanksgiving break. There you go. Okay. So let's go another few minutes, and I'll leave you a question. So again, the background for this next piece of Gemara, for the Meisei Mar Zutra, number one is this concept of Tevul Yom Mechusar Kippur. Understand that Tahara Aydei Tevila is a process. And after Tevila, you're not fully Tahar, you're a Tevul Yom. Some are more tar enough to eat Maser Sheni, but not tar enough to eat Truma, and certainly not to eat a carbon going to Beis HaMikdash. Most Tumos, the tar is completed with Har Shemesh that night. That's the first Mishnah that Shas talks about. Yishasha Kaham Nechnasim Lechal B'Trumasan. When Tesach HaKachavim comes, when the time for Kriyash Mashal Arvas comes, that's when you're once again allowed to eat Truma. If the Tuma that you had is specifically one that requires a carbon, so then after Har Shemesh, you're allowed to eat Truma, you're still in the Chusar Kippur, you're still missing the carbon until typically the next day. Typically the next day. The Torah says, so that's concept number one, Shul Yom Mechusar Kippur. Concept number two is the Psukim. Can I quick show my hands? How many of you saw the Psukim at the beginning of section Gimel Maram Kamos? The Psukim and Perek Yud Beis is a very short Perek. One of the shortest Prakim by Psukim in all of Chumash. Opening of Parashat Tazria, the Torah talks about Tumas Yoledes. The Torah says a woman gives birth to a baby boy, a baby girl, so she's a Tameya for a period of time, and then she's going to be Tahora for a period of time. You made Tuma, you made Tohar. If she's gives birth to a baby boy, she can go to mikveh at the end of 7 days of Tuma. If she gives birth to a baby girl, she goes to mikveh at the end of 14 days of Tuma. But here's the thing. She goes to mikveh at the end of the 7 to 14 days, but Yoledes is on that list of the few Tumos that require a carbon. The twist is that the Yoledes doesn't bring the carbon the next day. She's what we call a Tfulas Yom Aruch. She waits for a while in this position of Mechuseres Kippurim for 33 or 66 days. If she Yoleda Zachar, a woman who gave birth to a baby boy, the Pesukim say, she goes to mikveh at the end of 7 days. Now she's a Tfulas Yom. She's going to bring her karbanos on day 41. If she gave birth to a baby girl, Yoleda Nekeva, she goes to mikveh at the end of the 14 days of Tumah. Now she's a Tfulas Yom for 66 days. She's going to bring her karbanos on day 81. Wow. Okay. So again, so the karbanos are not relevant bisman hazeh. The karbanos are not relevant to heter benish lishto. And even bisman habayis, as we said, once you're at full yom, you're allowed to eat not only maaser sheni but even truma. The mechusar kippurim, bringing your karban to complete the tahara process, those avos hatuma, like yoledes, which require karbanos to complete the tahara process, that's only in order to allow you to eat karbanos and to go into mikdash. So over the course of those 33 or 66 days, Yoledes is forbidden to eat karbanos. She's forbidden to enter Beis HaMikdash, and she has no solution because she already had tefillah, she already had Arav Shemesh, but she's missing the last step, which is the karban, which will wait. Yoledes Zachar cannot bring it until day 41, until after the first 40 days are completed. Yoledes Nekeva cannot bring the karban until day 81. After the first 80 days are completed. So that's number one, the concept of Shul Yom Mechusar Kippur. Number two, the way in which it plays out specifically for Yoledes. And number three is to understand that's Megillah Davchav. Mishnah there has a long list of the mitzvahs that we mentioned this right here earlier. So yeah, mitzvahs are completely done by Yom. So, and the Gemara wants to know, where does it all come from? So, how do you know? Luv has to be done by Yom HaKeshek, Luv the night before. That's because Lokach Tuchem by Yom HaRishon. It has to be during the day. How do you know they have to blow shofar during the day? Why can't you blow shofar the night of Rosh Hashanah? So, then it's Yom Tzur Yilachem. Okay. The Mishnah has a long, long list. And the Gemara works through each one, what's the Makar. The Gemara takes a whole bunch of them and gives them a single Makar. Because in the list on the Mishnah, Megillah of Chafam Beis, there's a big chunk of that list are various types of avodah and Beis HaMikdash. Doing kemitza, doing hagasha, doing kabbalah sadap, so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, most of that list is all based on a single pasuk in Parshas Tzav, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Lam Ches, Biyom Savoso. The Torah is wrapping up a lot of discussion on karbanos. It says, Biyom Savoso.
was on the day that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara understood, that's the pasuk. The Gemara understands that not only talking about when Hashem gave the mitzvah to Moshe, but also how those dinim are meant to be carried out. Avodos HaKavanah, as we mentioned before, a rare exception is Hector Chalav and Beivarim, but in general, Avodos HaKavanah are only done Ba Yom. So that's why, what's the relevance here? It's in general, it can't be Machal Karma at night. And specifically here, the Yoledes, so she's done with her 40 days or 80 days at Tzedakah of Heaven, but she can't bring her carbon that night. She can only bring the carbon the next day. So these are three basic hakdamos to the sugya of Yoledes, the general idea of Tul Yom and Mechus Kippurim, specifically how that plays out uniquely for Yoledes. She's a Tul as Yom Aruch, she's a Tul as Yom for 33 or 66 days. She's going to mikvah at the end of 7 or 14 days, but she's only bringing her carbon after the 40 or 80 days are done. And the third point, because it didn't bayom tzavosa, vosa karbon is only bayom, so she does not bring her carbon on the night of the 41st, or the night of the 81st. She has to wait until the next morning. She brings her carbon on the day of 41, if she's yoledes zachar, or the day of 81, if she's yoledes nekeva. So those are the three pieces of critical hakdama to the sugya of yoledes. And as promised, I'll leave you with a question to think about, which is, well, how would that play out this man hazeh? Maybe you go to Beis HaMikdash. Halavai, then next week we should not be coming back to Ashen Heights. Halavai, next week we should be coming to Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim. If we have not yet been zochet to Beis HaMikdash next week, so halavai, we should at least be zochet to come back live to our Mikdash Mount. But Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, we know it's going to happen sooner or later, at some point, and Achakalo, we're Metzapa, this should happen soon. So Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, so your mother has had X number of children. 3 children, 5 children, 7 children, 9 children, 1 child, 18 children, however many. So your mother has had X number of children. So now she wants to, Beis HaMikdash was built, and she wants to be able to enjoy karbonos with the rest of the family. So we say, you have too many yoledes. So it's not enough to go to mikvah. It's not enough to have azos par me par aduma to get rid of tumas meis. It's not enough to go to mikvah. Tumas yoledes, you need karbonos. You're mechuseres kippurim. So how many karbonos does she bring? Does she bring one? Does she bring one per child? I mean, she's been tenea for years from all the children. Again, it wasn't really relevant, except for Achilas Karbanos and for Knisal and Mikdash, which, unfortunately, Bizman Azel, we don't have access to anyhow. Mary Bonavis Mesha will be relevant, and we'll have also have access to the solution. The solution is to bring the Karbanos Yoledes. How many Karbanos does she bring? Does she bring per child, or just brings one, and done? So the answer to that, and other questions, lie in the upcoming sugya, the top of Gimel Rav, which we will get to, Emir Tashem, when we come back. When we come back next week, Emir Tashem, we're going to get started right away with the Dini of Yoledes, and then there's more about Karbanos. We're going to get ourselves the next piece of Gemara, the second Meisvayad of Gimel Rav. We'll get an introduction to orientation to Kachem. We're going to get a little bit of orientation to Taurus. We'll get an orientation to Kachem. And then we're going to move pretty quickly to the end of this sugya. And then we're going to be turning to questions of language and Lashanaki. And then on Gimel Day is the famous story Bahu Arma and the long net. And then Dalam and Al, really, we'll be returning to the world of Chametz. We are, after all, learning Masachas Tzachim. We will be getting back to the world of Kedikas Chametz and Mesiras Mavteches, Chovas Hadar and some of Chovas. A lot, Rov and Chazaka. There's so much coming up. It's Hashem.